Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. Choose personalised pricing. It's made for you.
You may be familiar with narcolepsy, a condition where a person is regularly ambushed by the need to sleep. Belle Hutt has narcolepsy, but the situation is further complicated by the fact that she also has a condition called cataplexy, where strong emotion or laughter can force a person into sudden physical collapse. Belle, good afternoon to you.
Hello.
Thanks for talking with us today. Did you develop those two conditions at the same time or one before the other?
No, I kind of got narcolepsy when I was around late 16, nearly 17, and then cataplexy. I had my first cataplexy attack when I was about 19, so 2 years later.
Right, and by the time you'd had the first cataplexy attack, was the narcolepsy fully blown narcolepsy? It wasn't occasional.
Yeah, the narcolepsy, it started off maybe like 3 or 4 attacks a week, but it gradually gets worse and worse. So cataplexy or no cataplexy, it was still just getting worse and to this day, and I think it will just get worse throughout my life.
Mm-hmm. Now, and there's no cure for either of these conditions, just in case people were wondering about that. So as things stand now for you, a normal day in terms of the narcolepsy, what's that like for you?
Yeah, my whole life has changed since I was diagnosed. I have to schedule naps. So I have like 4 or 5 scheduled naps throughout the day, which I do take whether I feel tired or not. It just helps me regulate the attacks a little bit more. So I've found after having the scheduled naps, I don't have so many surprising attacks. I still have like 8 or 9 at times a day where I sit down or I eat my lunch or my breakfast and I will fall asleep. But I've found that over the years that actually keeping active and my lifestyle as a personal trainer has really, really helped my narcolepsy.
Mm. And does it tend to happen or is there a connection between sitting down and eating and about a narcolepsy coming on?
I think it's just the sitting down and your heart rate is obviously at a resting rate rather than the blood isn't flowing through your body as quickly. But if I don't sleep for maybe like 4 hours, it doesn't matter where I am. Like I could be shopping with my mum or doing anything active. It's never happened when I'm really working out. Mm. But if I am just walking along the street, it can happen then. I have to sleep every 4 hours. Max, like I can't go without a sleep within 4 hours.
And if, say, you are just walking down the street when this happens, what do you do?
It's not like I don't like physically fall to the floor. I can feel it coming. So sometimes it's like I've got a minute. Sometimes I've got like 10 minutes of fighting it, like constant fighting. Like my eyes start drifting and I just start like getting a little bit cold, getting very hungry, getting very snappy and angry and cross. And I'm just like, normally I'm with someone and I say to them, like, I'm going to fall asleep any second. Like, we need to go somewhere, take me somewhere, because I don't know really what I'm doing at that time, but I can still keep walking. And normally we go to a nearby cafe or a bench or something, or we just sit on some stairs that we find along the street. The other day with my boyfriend, I just had to sit on some stairs outside of a shop and just put my head between my legs and like just put my underbent sleep for a little bit.
Yeah, and from I read an article you wrote for the BBC3 website, and you do kind of relate being out in restaurants, and you know, you just kind of put your head on the table and nap for 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, I'm very stubborn towards it, and I really don't like to admit that I'm falling asleep. But if I'm talking to my boyfriend about something, sometimes he doesn't even realise that one's coming on. But he'll be chatting, say, about football, and then I will say something like, yeah, but I didn't take my dog for a walk earlier. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what? And then he can realise, he's like, oh, okay, don't worry, Belle, it's fine. Just put your head on the table for a little bit. And then I'm like, no, I'm fine. But if I don't take that, like, 3 or 4 minutes sleep, then it will just keep fighting it throughout the whole dinner. And it will just get worse and worse and worse. And I'll start to have longer periods where I keep my eyes closed. So I have learnt to accept it a little bit more and actually give in to it. And then I can have a nice evening with my boyfriend.
Yeah, and it seems from what you've written as well, there's a kind of an intermediary state before you fully fall asleep where it's like you're already starting to have a dream. That thing you said, that he'll be talking about football, and you tell him something completely, you reply something completely different.
Yeah, that's like because we, as narcoleptics, we fall into a REM sleep, which is a deep, deep dream sleep, very, very, very quickly. So that's where the hallucination phase crosses over with the actually being asleep. So sometimes I've got my eyes open, but I'm hallucinating. So sometimes I have actually seen people in that. I've called the police before because I'm so sure someone, I've just seen someone in my house. And then that's when I say some strange things. Normally it's quite tame. But like my whole family, if I'll just blurt it out and then I'll be like, oh my God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. And then they're all really forgiving about it. But that's where us narcoleptics, that's actually probably the scariest thing that I've ever experienced, is the hallucinations, because you're like, hey, I was literally just looking on my laptop and I've now just seen two people in my house and I can hear exact sounds that my house makes. I hear them open the door. I see them look at me. But it's all a dream, but I don't realise because I'm awake.
Yeah. And when you're out, in that, you know, in that scenario, if you're out for dinner with your boyfriend, what kinds of reactions do you get from people? And do people, for instance, assume that you're drunk?
Oh, all the time. I mean, I've had people film me before. They're like, sit. And I recently went to Paris with my boyfriend, and it was a trip he bought for my birthday. And actually, it really... it's one thing I remember about the trip, and I don't want to because it was amazing, but every single night I went for dinner, I had at least two or three tables literally staring at me because I just struggled every night. And sometimes I have really good nights, but those three nights just weren't great. Mm. And I was just nodding off, and everyone just thinks, gosh, she's a boring date, or like, oh my God, what's wrong with her? Is she drunk? Is she wasted? I'm taking my food like off of my plate and like piling it up on my napkin. Like just and all these things, people just think I'm awake, but actually I'm just dreaming. I don't really realize I'm doing it, and people are tapping their boyfriends. They're like, look now look, and I can realize this, and I'm like, and I can't say anything because that's when the cataplexy comes on. Aww. If I'm a bit nervous about saying like, hey, can you guys just like mind your own business, I wouldn't physically be able to say that because I would be a bit conscious of saying it.
Mm. The and I suppose what's really cruel, apart from everything you've just described about this condition, is that you can't sleep at night, though.
No. So what I've learned is that narcoleptics don't really have a body clock. So I used to get, when I was younger, when I actually got diagnosed, I was like, I'm sleeping 8 full hours of sleep at night time, and I still fall asleep in the daytime. But now, because I have my scheduled naps, and I have to have my scheduled naps, throughout the night, I nap, basically. So I sleep. The first lot of sleep is fine. I go to sleep normally around like 9. And I always wake up every single night at 12. Every single night I wake up at 12. And then I'm awake maybe for just like 15 minutes. And then I fall back to sleep. 45 minutes, I wake up again. I fall back to sleep. And then I wake up again. So I wake up like 6 or 7 times a night. So you can imagine when I wake up in the morning, I feel like, oh, I've not had a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
Because I've just been napping constantly.
Yeah. Now, the cataplexy then, is that as regular as the narcolepsy or more sporadic?
That's more sporadic. I would say I get like a few days that are really, really bad in the month, and that's when my cataplexy is bad as well. So my narcolepsy is extreme. Like sometimes I don't even remember the day. I eat my breakfast 4 times, I don't even realize. But that's when the cataplexy is bad as well. So just to have a conversation with someone in the supermarket, a stranger, I struggle. Like I can't physically get my words out, or my knee will go, or my head will drop. And it's not even like, I'm not even worried or scared to talk to someone in the supermarket, but it's just at the extreme ends. And then to shout or to laugh, that's just like, I'm on the floor. I'm just like a heap on the floor when I laugh or anything like that. And it's until I stop laughing, I just physically cannot move a muscle. I can't, and I like to be funny sometimes, and I can't even finish my joke because I can't physically speak.
God. And now when you have that sensation, because probably a lot of people listening will have that sensation, you're laughing so much you can't get words out. But I assume it's not like that, or is it?
No, it's not like that. Like I physically have no, it's a very strange feeling, but it's like I'm limp in my voice box, and it's like I've got no muscles in my tongue, in my throat, nothing to help me get words out. Like I just can't talk. It's completely gone. Every single muscle that is used to speak is gone. And even if I stop laughing, I'm just panicking, and I'm struggling, and I'm a bit embarrassed. And like sometimes I admitted it to a friend the other day and I was like, oh God, I'm really struggling to talk. And then I admitted it and then I got a little bit more embarrassed. And she was like, hey, whoa, just calm down. Like, just take your time. And it wasn't until I really took a big deep breath and really come round, and then I was like, okay, sorry, I can tell you now. So even after I've stopped laughing, it's just, I need to just give myself a little bit of time.
Yeah, is laughter the worst for the cataplexy, or is it if you're angry or agitated by something?
Laughter is the worst. Laughter is the only one that's actually, I've been completely on the floor, like I cannot move a muscle. But then whenever I say, like, I'm not really an angry person or shout at people, but I used to work on a show jumping yard and there were some two little girls, and every time they, I don't know, were spraying water in the horse's face or something, and I'd just be like, hey girls, what are you doing? My knees would go, like I've fallen on the floor, but it's not like my whole body, it just like it's strong, sharp. Or like I'd say to my mum, for example, she was putting my socks in my sister's pile and they were my socks. I was like, mum, they're my socks. And I just, my knees just went. So strong, sharp emotions aren't as bad as the laughing, but that always happens normally with my legs.
God, that's, I mean, again, that's really cruel, because who, I suppose one could advise you to just avoid laughing, but who wants to go through life avoiding laughter?
No, exactly. Yeah.
Now, you do, as you did mention keeping fit and training, and you're also a personal trainer.
Yeah, so when I had to leave school because of my narcolepsy. It was impossible to study, impossible to sit in class. So I just thought this isn't worth it. Like, I wasn't that in school anyway. So I left school to actually work on a professional show jumping yard full time. And that in itself was absolutely exhausting. I mean, anyone would be tired riding 8 horses a day. Mm. So I decided that that really wasn't up my street. And I still do it as a hobby. But then I was in there for about 6 months. I literally didn't really know what to do. I was like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life having to live with my mum, riding just my 2 horses and napping for the rest of the day, because no one will hire me. I won't be employed by anyone because I still sleep all the time. But I used to run all the time as a child, and growing up through my teenage years, that was my favourite thing, doing cross-country running or like the occasional 10K run. And I realised after running, I was always on a high, whether it be like an hour or 2 hours, I was just felt so alive. And like, because I know the extreme other end of not feeling so alive, it was just like such an amazing feeling. I was smiley, I was chatty. And then I realised, my mum said, well, why don't you go and do a personal training course? And I thought, no, I can't do that because I've got to study. But I told the people I was doing the course with, and they were really, really helpful. And most of the time I just said, look, I'm going to start to fall asleep in class, but the moment we go up to the gym, that's when I'll come alive. And if you could just literally cover what we've just covered in a short space of time afterwards, because that's when I feel great, that would be, I'd really appreciate that. And they did, and they really helped. Mm. And then that was only 6 weeks of the course. And then I started my own business, because I thought, well, I can work my own hours. And that was in Buckingham. And I had quite a few ladies, just one-on-one sessions. And I absolutely loved every single second of it. I never felt tired during it. I always used to join in to motivate them, and it also kept me awake. And then just last year in November, I moved to Amsterdam. And again, I thought, I'm going to live without my mum. I'm living with my boyfriend. I'm going to be a housewife. I can't do anything else. No one will employ me. I can't set up my own business here, because, I mean, I want to just, yeah, I can't. I'm going to fall asleep all the time. Anyway, I was actually got founded by a gym in Amsterdam, and I take more classes, so it's more like a show in a way, and it's classes of like 20, 30 people, and I take actually 8 of them a week now, and I love it. I absolutely love it, and I've never felt tired, and all the people in my class are probably, they're like, huh, you have narcolepsy? I just can't believe it. I'm like, it's because when I'm here, I'm on the go, I'm showing you exercises, I'm giving you motivation, and I love every single second of it. It makes me smile so much, and that is just because I struggle so much through the day that exercise, it sounds really corny and cliche, but it's honestly, it's my drug, because I just feel so alive when I'm exercising.
Okay, well, that's great. And are there actual drugs that you can take that might even help a little bit?
Yeah, no, I take medication. I take something called methylphenidate. It's like Ritalin. I take a slow release one of that in the morning, every single morning, 27 milligrams. And then throughout the day, it depends really what my day is doing. If I've got a lot of exercise involved in my day, I generally don't take them, because I know that that'll keep me awake. But say if I'm going to sit and do some studying in a classroom that's very rare. But if I am, I then take my 10 milligrams just to boost me a little bit. But sometimes it doesn't even work. So they are just there to help me and keep my head above the water.
Yeah. And is there a danger by taking those drugs that you build up a resistance to them?
Well, yeah. When I was first diagnosed, I was put on modafinil, and within a year, they did nothing. I was taking two of them a day, two in the morning, two at lunchtime, and they were doing nothing. So that's when I had to move up to methylphenidate. And actually, there is a drug that lots of people have spoken to me about, and it's called XREM. I'm not really sure how to pronounce it, but XREM, and it's actually a sleeping drug. So it's a contrast. So it puts you in a really, really, really deep sleep at nighttime. So you get your full, you have to give yourself, I think, 10 hours of sleep at night. So it prepares you for a much more energetic and alert day. So in the future, that is something I'm looking at taking. But at the moment, I'm fine with what I'm on now.
Yeah, well, you're coping with it admirably well. And thank you so much for talking with us today. And best of luck with you in the future. And I hope things get better for you as you go along. And probably because you did mention that sometimes your boyfriend will be talking about football and then you kind of start to drift off. Lots of people, as you might expect, have been texting in to say, oh, my girlfriend drifts off when I talk about football, but that's because they're all boring. Belle, yeah. Thanks a million for speaking with us today. That's Belle Hutt there in Amsterdam. We're going to take a break after that. Movies and booze.